This episode is sponsored by Evolve Bootcamp, my year-round outdoor functional fitness program that delivers a sense of warmth, friendliness, and spirit, along with butt-kicking, hellishly fun-filled workouts that embody a caring attitude, evoking the idea everybody that exercises outside does so without boundaries and naturally evolves. Class begins at 6 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Come by for a trial class at the Boston Common if you dare. Welcome to the Evolve WMMA podcast featuring the greatest upcoming female fighters on the planet. They are women who have gone against conventional thinking to pursue their dreams. These fighters inspire, empower, and unleash excellence within a new generation of female warriors as they rise and evolve into the best possible version of themselves through the power of mixed martial arts. Hey, 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 this is Evolve WMMA, and I'm your host, Shelley Devine. So this week's guest is an undefeated UFC fighter ranked number 2 in the strawweight division. She comes with a decorated background in freestyle wrestling, where she ranked number 1 in the United States by the age of 20 years old, before her aspirations to compete in the 2012 Summer Olympics was derailed with a fight against thyroid cancer. She successfully completed treatment and recovered, and then decided to start exploring mixed martial arts. You may remember her from Tough 23. She was the season finale winner. And as if fighting in the UFC or against cancer isn't enough, she is also very passionate about dogs and is a rescue dog trainer. I'd like to welcome to the show undefeated UFC fighter Tatiana Suarez. So welcome, Tatiana. It's so great to have you on the show. I think you're one of two UFC fighters that I've had on the show. So I had seen your last fight with Nina.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and that was an amazing fight. And then I went through all of your other fights all at once, and I was like, oh my God, she is like freaking, I mean, you dominated every single fight. You have 8 wins, mm-hmm. right? And I keep seeing 9, they're posting 9 wins or something like that. Is that just an error, or did you have a fight that they're somehow not counting?
No, actually I have 10 pro fights, but because like of the show, I think a lot of them, they don't like, actually I think I've had 11 or maybe 10 or 11 fights, but I don't really count, like, you know, like I think on the show, they didn't count a couple of the fights.
Oh,
because I was on the Ultimate Fighter show.
Okay.
I did win, but they don't count them.
Wow. All right. So you have 10 or 11 fights.
Yeah.
That you've won. Okay. And then of your professional career, they're counting 8.
Yes. They're counting, yeah. I think 8 or 9 of them.
Okay. Yeah. Cause right now I'm like, they have 8, but then I'm seeing 9, and I was like, what's the 9th fight?
Yeah. So I don't really know. And I don't really care either.
You're just wrecking the strawweight division. You're just running through it. I mean, I you were mauling these women. Like, I mean, they just and excellent fighters too. Like, they're amazing fighters, and you're just like dish ragging them. I'm like, what the hell, man? Where did you come from?
Thank you. I appreciate it. I came from California.
Yeah. So you've lived in California all your life?
Yeah.
Okay. And
I can hear an accent. Where do you live?
I'm Boston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Boston, New Hampshire, New England. So I have, it's funny, I was married for, you know, I lived in Boston for about close to 30 years. And even prior to moving down there, I had more of a Boston accent than I think some of the people down there. I say, having yarn. I got that going on. So,
that's funny.
You know, so are you in Northern California or whereabouts?
Actually, no, I'm in Southern California. So I live without traffic, you know, an hour from LA, an hour and a half. With traffic, like 3 hours.
Because traffic's
so bad here.
Yeah. And I love the name of your gym, Millennia, but then I even love where it is in Rancho, what is it, Cucamonga?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get
it,
that.
It sounds like a joke. It doesn't sound like a real town. It sounds like you should be like, woohoo, not doing MMA. You know?
I don't really know. I don't know who came up with the name, but that's the name of the town.
How did you find that place?
So I've been at like Millennia MMA since the beginning of my career. Yeah. I actually started in Chino Hills, which is the other location. And it's a smaller location of the gym that I'm at now. But then I started going to the Rancho gym and I started doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I fell in love immediately. So I've been there my entire career. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like it was a natural progression for you. You're a born fighter. You've started like wrestling when you were three, right?
Yeah.
And you're very supported by the females in your family as well as the males, but the females are the one that were like, yeah, she's a fighter.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom and my grandma. Yeah. They're very, very supportive of me. Yeah. And my cousin and my brother, his wife is very supportive. Like she's at every one of my fights. She was pregnant. She was probably like 6 or 5 months pregnant and she went to Chile.
To watch you fight?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. She's so super supportive. Do they feel like they were probably fighters when they were younger and now they're living vicariously through you?
I think my grandma has, you know, like that kind of like, she's very feisty. Mm-hmm. So, but back in the day, that definitely like wrestling was not a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then my mom, she was into sports. Mm-hmm. She did track, she did basketball and swim. Mm-hmm. Which I am like, I love basketball. I don't like basketball. I'm not very good at it, but I'm very good at like swimming and track. Like I was good at running as well. So I probably get that from her.
Yeah.
But she's a competitor and she's very competitive. So I probably get that from her as well.
Wow. That sounds amazing. You know, like to have that. I mean, some of the women that I've interviewed before have said that, it's been more of like, oh, they might get it from their dad or something like that. Not so much their moms, but I love the fact that you get it from your mom and your grandma and, yeah. You know, like,
you know, long line of strong women.
Yeah. So that's obviously influenced you a lot, throughout your career.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And the fact that they've been so supportive, like us, you know, my grandma's never like told me I couldn't because I was a woman or anything like that. And then my mom, she's the quite opposite, you know, she's mm-hmm. like, you need to, like when I was younger, I just remember her like saying, like, these people don't believe you're here. Mm-hmm. Don't believe that you belong here, you know, meaning like men.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wrestled, you know, their sons or their mm-hmm. nephews or whatever. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they would be like, you know, you should do tennis. And my mom would be like,
why?
Don't listen to those people.
Why?
You know? She would be like, you need to prove them wrong, you know, and that was from a very young age. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you must have been kicking the boys' butts and they're like, huh, you know.
But, yeah, they're like, you need to do tennis. And I'm like, no, your son needs to do tennis. He just lost.
Exactly.
Work for him.
Oh man, I can't even believe that would occur to somebody when you're doing so well in it. So yeah. You were ranked number one, freestyle wrestler in the United States, right?
Yeah.
And you went on to out to London to train for the 2012 Summer Olympics. And I mean, what was the training camp like to begin with? And then how did it lead into your, you know, diagnosis with cancer?
So basically, you know, I was living at the Olympic Training Center. We didn't go to London for that. But the Olympics were in London that mm-hmm. coming year or whatever. But, you know, I trained at the Olympic Training Center, which is in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it's very intense, the workouts and stuff like that. You know, I was training 4 hours a day, for my sport. It was, you know, intense. And then, you know, I ended up having a neck injury, and because of the neck injury, you know, I found out about my cancer because they were doing MRI on my neck, and then they saw like a node, and then, you know, I had to get the node tested. Right. And then, you know, basically like I went and saw an oncologist, and they're like, yes, it's cancer. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it happened. But it was just like a freak luck kind of thing. Cause if I would have never hurt my neck, I probably would have never known. And it could have been like, it probably, you know, cause when they found it, it had spread to like my lymph nodes, and it was spreading to my lungs. So who knows, like, wow. If I had caught it, you know, like later on, yeah. I probably, you know, could have been far worse than it was. And, you know, I think it's just crazy because, like, you know, especially because I was like training super, super hard and had a rigorous schedule, I would never have known like that it was fatigue because I was sick. You know, mm-hmm. I would always believe it's fatigue because I'm training so much, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. And what was your, you know, treatment like during that time? I mean, how did you feel about it all? And what was the treatment like?
So I had to have a surgery to get my thyroid removed. And then they took out a lot of my lymph nodes because, like I said, it was spreading to my lymph nodes, so they had to take those lymph nodes out. And then also I had to have radioactive iodine and radiation as well because it had spread to my lungs. So once that was cleared up, it was like maybe like a year and a half. And you know, I had like a lot of like life changes during that time, so you know, it was really difficult just because I was like, I had a lot, you know, all going on, kind of happen at once. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, not only was I trying to, you know, fight cancer, but I was trying to kind of find myself as well because I couldn't wrestle anymore. So and wrestling had been like a huge part of my life for since I was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So you know, when something's that, you know, that much part of you and you can no longer do it, it really makes you like trying to you kind of feel lost. Like you don't really know who you are without it, you know?
Yeah. And you feel like it's being taken away from you and the choice wasn't yours.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like it's like, oh, I love doing this. And all of a sudden it's like just ripped from you. So right. did you have to grieve that during during your treatment?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of like how I was like, it was like how I said, like I had a lot on my plate at that time just because I had a lot going on. You know, growing up I wasn't like super close to my family. Like we were close in terms of like how would you say, like, you know, the support, like they're very supportive of wrestling, they want me to succeed, but it wasn't like tell me how your day was or you know what I mean, if that makes sense, or like tell me how you feel about this. It was never like about, you know, personal. Like it sounds so weird to say like my family's not personal, but we just don't talk about feelings really, you know? So.
Yeah. A lot of families don't, you know, they just go through the day-to-day motions. You get up, you go to work, you go to school, you go do your thing. Then you come home, you might have dinner together. Nowadays, I don't even know if families do that. Like everybody's in front of the TV or in front of their phones or on the computer or something. So it does throw a bit of a monkey wrench into, you know, sitting down with your folks and your siblings and saying, and your parents sitting down and saying, hey, how was your day? And then two, does anybody really say anything? Right.
Yeah. A lot of times they'll just like give you like it was great, or it was a good day, or it was okay, you know, but then no one asks like, oh, why was it okay? You know, like,
yeah. It's just like a follow-up question. The follow-up question. Yeah.
Might as well be talking to a stranger.
So did things change after you had your bout with cancer with your family?
Yeah. So I became a lot closer with my family, with my mom in particular, because, you know, I always had that. My mom was a very young mom. She had my older brother when she was 15. She had me when she was only, you know, 21 years old. I mean, people have kids younger than 21, but that's still fairly young. Sure. And, you know, I just don't feel like she had the opportunity to grow up herself before, you know,
having you.
Right. Yeah.
Your brother.
I had my brother at 15. So it's like at 15 years old, you're still a child. Right. So, I mean, and then you throw another child into that and it's like, she, you know, wasn't able to really fulfill whatever she wanted to do or, you know what I mean? So, I know that that probably took her, its toll on her, and she, you know, she was a single parent. None of our dads were around. So, you know, that's really hard on somebody, you know? So I know that that played a, like a huge factor into like our relationship. And so, when this all happened, you know, I think, I like started to go to church and stuff like that and then share my faith. And then that kind of brought us all together as well, because like my little brother, he was really open. My little brother, like, he's open to anything.
Nice.
And so he did it. And then, you know, because he did it, my mom did it. And like, you know, and then my sister did it. And then now my older brother and his wife do go. And so it's just kind of like this great effect and this spiraling effect. And I'm just really happy that, you know, that we could all come together and like share this and have this bond.
Wow. Yeah. So you started going to church when you were diagnosed with cancer. Did you do that prior to, or you were doing it already?
No. So like, it's kind of weird. So I found out maybe like a couple months right before, like, so I went to church maybe like a couple months and then I found out about the whole cancer. And I thought that was kind of crazy because I just kind of felt like it was like almost like God's way to prepare me for what was to come. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, he was like, oh, I'm going to give you this crazy, you know, this, your life is going to change.
Yeah.
And you're going to need some tools to get through what you're going to go through. So he, you know, he like, it was just kind of crazy that it happened that way.
Yeah. I mean, I completely get that. Years ago, my sister had cancer and she's since passed away about 10 years. She's been gone, but she had a 17-year battle with brain cancer. Yeah. And so, the whole thing, like being prepared as her sister or a sibling to go through the loss of that, I had watched prior to her having, finding out about, this was years before, was this movie, and it was about this boy who had brain cancer. And I was like, it always stuck out with me. I was like, why does this movie stick out with me? And then sure enough, when she had it, I was like, oh, that's why. It was just a prep. And then too, I always had a spiritual connection. You know, I went to church as a young kid, but then kind of moved away from that and developed my own practice and stuff. But without it, you know, you don't know how you're going to get through things as, and I know it was a strong thing for my sister. One of the things that, and the reason why I'm talking about my sister is because you have this same mantra, I guess, that my sister had, is never give up. And I think it's so important and such a major, you have to have something that you can hold on to get yourself through that. And how did that mantra help you get through that and anything, I guess, now bringing it up to date, you know, like with who you are now and the successes that you've had along the way in your mixed martial arts career? How is that mantra and that mindset prepared you for, you know, battling in the cage and staying healthy too?
Yeah. You know, it's a balance, you know. I know for me, like, that mindset has come, I just feel like it's been sharpened from a very young age as well. Like I had, like I said, I had that competitive nature to me as well. Like, and also, you know, I've been wrestling from a young age and, you know, I constantly had to prove that I belonged somewhere, you know, in terms of like wrestling, like people were telling me that I didn't belong there. So I constantly had to battle that as well. And so I think, you know, my whole life kind of like God prepared me for a long time and I just didn't know what he was preparing me for, but it was, you know, for this challenge and it was a tough, you know, tough challenge for me, at the time. And then, you know, I got through that and, now it's still like a, you know, it's a constant battle because, you know, I've spoken about this a couple of times, but, the cancer that I have had, it is like a hormone related cancer, because it, you know, it's my thyroid. So because I had to take it, had to get taken out, mm-hmm. I no longer have it. So now I have to use a pill, and the pills don't always like fully work. So mm-hmm. a lot of times, you know, I'll wake up in the morning and I'm like, I'm still extremely tired, you know, mm-hmm. like, so I have to get through the day, and and I have to work out. Not only do I just have to get through the day, but I have to put myself through really intense workouts throughout yeah. Throughout the day. So it's definitely very mentally taxing, mm-hmm. and of course physically. So I know for me, you know, it's been a challenge because of that. Because I didn't know, you know, I was like, why am I so tired all the time? Like, I just didn't understand.
Right,
and
right.
then one day someone contacted me, and it's like, they also had that, the thyroid cancer. And they're like, you know, how do you deal with the fatigue and this and that? And I wake up every day and I'm just already tired, and I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, maybe it's a thyroid thing. Like, you know, I didn't. So then I like started to look up, you know, like forums and stuff, and I was like, okay, so this isn't just me. That's just, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I realize it's because of, you know, just the side effects of having this type of, you right. know, not having your thyroid anymore. Yeah. So,
yeah, there's certain hormones that aren't getting to the rest of your body. So it's like your body is definitely missing out on that. It does compensate, I'm sure, but.
Yeah.
But at the level that you're training at too, I mean, mm-hmm. Anybody would be tired, you know, extremely exhausted, but then you have that too along the way. I mean, right. Granted, you're like you're still in your 20s. So your recovery is going to be better than most people say your age. Right. But since you have this now, that just adds a, you know, a whole other thing. So how is that affecting you even now, like with, say, even, you know, the last few fights that you've had? Has it been a major problem for you in your fight camp, or?
No, actually, no. Like, I'm very driven, you know, so I'm very driven. So like me, like, I'm like, I don't want to lose. You know, I want to win. Mm-hmm. And so I get up every day and I'm like, I stay motivated, and my, that will never goes away. And I just love the sport. Like, it's very, very addicting kind of thing. Like, you know, it's just like, you know, I wake up and I'm like, I want to be better today. I want to be better mm-hmm. at this. I want to be better mm-hmm. at that. So it's easy to stay engaged, because you're just like, I want to be better than I was the day before. And not only just, you know, better like martial artists, but I truly believe that martial arts also shapes you as a person, you know, your, you know, your character and stuff like that. So not only do I want to be a better person, but I also, you know, not only do I want to be a better martial artist, but I want to be a better person as well. Mm-hmm. And that's just like dealing with, you know, kind of like the fame that also goes behind mm-hmm. this kind of sport, you know what I mean? Because it's inevitable, you're going to get attention, and it's just how you deal with that attention and that kind of, you know, atmosphere that makes you and shapes you as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, prior to, I mean, for some of our listeners that are new to Tatiana too, you were in the tough 23 year that you won that season. And mm-hmm. I mean, for you to, I didn't really look prior to see what you had done prior to Tough, but prior to that, leading into that and getting onto that show, and then having all the success that you had on the show, I mean, how did that change you as, you know, being in the limelight, so to speak, and, you know, going from zero to, wow, you know, you're on the show and then you win and boom, you're in the UFC. I mean, that must have been huge for you.
Yeah. People are like, how has your life changed? And I was like, I'm just not poor anymore.
Awesome.
I'm like, you know, same old me. I just, now if I can have like a peace of mind, like when I wake up, that, you know, like I'm not going to be just eating oatmeal all day or just mm-hmm. tuna all day, mm-hmm. you know, so more opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much like the only thing that I felt like had changed. And I felt like I belonged there going into the show. It wasn't like you know, I was like, man, I hope to win this. I was like, I'm going to win this. And when I win this, I won't have to worry about this part of it anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about the money, really. I'm just going to have, now I can just train freely. I can quit my job, and now I can just train and just focus on getting better.
Yeah. You must have a will that is like steel or like, you know, iron, because for one, going through cancer, this is one of the questions that I was, you know, thinking about asking is, you went through cancer and you have to have, I mean, you're fighting this internal battle of like, oh my God, I could freaking die tomorrow or die in a few months from this, you know, diagnosis. And it's life threatening. And then now when you step in the cage, do you feel like you have an advantage over your opponents because of it?
You know what? Like, it's kind of funny because, you know, I had wrestling prior, right? Mm-hmm. And I just remember, you know, I was so focused, you know, on being the best. Like, I didn't really care about who I was, or I didn't care about what I, how I acted, you know, my character or anything like that. And I was also much younger. Mm-hmm. But when this happened, you know, it was like I had many things that happened that kind of shaped me. Mm-hmm. So now when I'm in the cage, like, I see it a lot differently. Before, it was like, I have to win. Like, there's no, like, I just have to win, right? Mm-hmm. Now when I fight, I'm like, yeah, I want to win. Like, I want to win so badly, right? Mm-hmm. I've trained so hard for this. I've trained my entire life, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, at the end of the day, like, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to be in this cage, have this opportunity. And at the end of the day, the people that love me mm-hmm. are going to love me regardless if I win or lose. So I'm just going to go out there and embrace it and have fun. And
it's a great attitude.
You know, I just, yeah. So I do feel like, in a way, like, what happened to me, this cancer, this disease, like, it was, someone asked me the other day, like, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you? And I was very reluctant to answer, because there's a lot of things that have happened to me that were like great, you know, but mm-hmm. I would have to say that that was one of the things that happened to me that actually changed my life for mm-hmm. the better.
Wow. That's
crazy, but
no, it doesn't. It totally doesn't. I mean, I think it shapes you into yeah. even a better person, a more compassionate person, and then a person right. that really appreciates their life and right. the things that they love. It just puts things in perspective, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just don't. I mean, I lived with people that had cancer. They had it for, my sister had it for a while, and then my parents both had cancer. Different reasons, you know, like, of why they had it, but you see in them this appreciation for life, whether they, you know, succumb to it or whether they live, you know, and they go into remission or something like that. They have this, my sister had a tremendous appreciation for life, something that at the time, I didn't completely understand, but I did understand it. And years later, I'm like, wow, you know, you have to have an appreciation for your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. and what you choose to do with it, and then yeah. And then to love it. And I think maybe that's, you know, for you, I couldn't help but wonder, is like, you know, do you feel like it does give you a bit of an advantage over your opponents because you have faced that darkness and yeah. fear? You face that fear of dying, you know? Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm alive today. I can live another day.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
And I do feel that way. So it's kind of crazy. And I've mentioned it a couple of times, like, in interviews, but like briefly, like, you know, I'm not trying to make people cry or anything, but like, you know,
yeah, no.
I like briefly go over it. And, you know, so like, I'm just like, but that's kind of how I feel. Like, you know, like, I'm like, well, yeah. you know, I'm like,
yeah.
And you know, there.
You've set a lot of goals for yourself since, you know, I mean, over the years and stuff. And I'm wondering now, like, with all these positive outcomes that you've had with success and everything, what are some of your, you know, say, year, 2 year, 3 year kind of goals that are up and coming for you that you have set for yourself?
Well, so that's kind of funny because I've been injured. Mm-hmm. And so I've had a lot of time to think about this. And I'm like always, you know, like I'm always thinking about, my mind's like always on like 10, like I'm always crazy. Like my mind goes nuts. But definitely like a few of my goals is just to get more into charity, like, you know, really, really big into charity. And I have a few that, you know, like in terms of what kinds of charities, like I'm always giving, you know, like mm-hmm. I always, you know, give to like, you know, people that are homeless or like, you know, on my own, you know, like
right.
Not like through organizations or anything like that. But I'm always like giving or, you know, like GoFundMe stuff. Like I'm always trying to give, mm-hmm. but I want to get more into, you know, like dedicating my time to that aspect of like charities and stuff like that. Even if it's just like speaking or, you know, whatever I can really do. Like I know like recently I spoke at like a high school and I like giving back to the youth because they're the future, right? Sure. So I like giving back to that. And then, you know, and I kind of, you know, eventually like I want to get more involved in like, any type of charity that goes to like homeless, the mentally ill, mm-hmm. You know, obviously I love dogs. So I already deal with dogs and I help dogs out. Like we do. Like,
I know. I saw that. That's amazing. So you train them too. Like you right. help, you know, like, dogs that have been, maybe have they been abused or what types do you get?
Yeah. So we have all types of dogs that have like mm-hmm. behavior issues that they found at the pound and now they want to give to a home. So they need some training. Mm-hmm. Like we help with that. And like, you know, a couple times like the dog was just like really took to us and really couldn't be with anybody else. So we took the dog in. We're like, we'll take it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's Ginger. She's mm-hmm. a little more, but yeah, so like that as well. And then also, you know, I want to deal with like at risk kids, like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they're going down the wrong path. We want to put them on the right path. Right. So mm-hmm. that's something like, and then, you know, the foster care system, because it's really broken. Mm-hmm. But those are kind of like things that I like really want to get involved with in the future. So wow. I've been making goals, to get involved with that, with mm-hmm. those kind of charities and stuff like that.
The reason for those particular charities, you mentioned mental illness and then kids that have had a rough time or that are, you know, strained from the straight narrow path or whatever, helping them out. Is that something that you've had to deal with on your own in your own life growing up? Or is it just something that you're empathetic to?
Yeah, just something that I'm empathetic to. And then like, obviously like the homeless, I always want to help them as well. But that kind of coincides with the mentally ill. Right.
Like, yeah.
The mentally ill are our homeless people. Mm-hmm. And they just don't get the help that they deserve or need. So mm-hmm. that's something I feel like we could prevent if they mm-hmm. had the medication necessary. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they don't want the help. So they ended up mm-hmm. on the street. But
right.
people yep. that do want the help, they should have that opportunity to have that.
Right.
And I think that's very broken in our country. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it used to be better, like, but, and then, you know, funding went away from that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I think the money goes to, that's a different story, but.
Politics. Yeah, we don't want to go there.
But yeah, so like, that's something that's like always like, you know, I've never had to deal with that. I've never had to deal with any of, you know, like mentally ill or we don't really have that, you know, like, mm-hmm. Like that, but I'm still very like empathetic to those kind of people, especially like foster kids, because I know mm-hmm. that's also coincides with the kids that are at risk, right? So mm-hmm. they don't have anybody to look up to, or they don't have any figures that can show them like healthy ways of doing things, so yeah. they end up going down the wrong path. Yeah.
Yeah, are you thinking of like maybe some programs like Big Sister or something like that, or yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, kind of like with what you're doing with the dog thing. You're volunteering, helping with the dogs, and taking them right. and going to a dog shelter, and then saying, okay, let me take this dog, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
that's exactly. really cool. So, how many dogs do you care for at a time?
So we have like only, we only have, let me see, for us, we have Ginger. So like of our own dogs, we only have 4 dogs, but we have like a couple of other dogs that are like the foster dogs that we like train and then give them back to them so they can adopt them out. But that's mm-hmm. usually only like 2 to 3 at a time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So that, those are great. You know, is that like a year plan, year 2, 3 years out or whatever?
Yeah, and, probably that. Cause eventually like I kind of wanted to do like a nonprofit organization, but mm-hmm. that's when I have time, you know, cause I have to make sure, like if I'm going to start something like that, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that it eventually succeeds. And then, you know, obviously, you know, I want to be the number one, the champ at my weight class. So that's another mm-hmm. goal of mine. And being a champ at my weight class will give me, you know, also a higher platform. So when I do start that nonprofit, it will be a lot more successful and it will help more people.
Yeah. So the short-term goal is getting that belt right, wrapped right, around right. your waist. So yeah, right. I mean, seeing as how we're on that topic now, let's go there. your division has changed a lot in the short yeah. since your last fight. Mm-hmm. It's changed hands a bit. Right.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and now the new champ is Jung Wai Lee, which with that amazing win that she just went in and like clobbered. Crazy. I mean, was it were you like, did you watch it? Were you like blown away that it happened that fast against Andrade? I haven't seen Wai Lee fight before. I was just like, wow, I like her.
You yeah. know? No, I wasn't really surprised. And like a couple other people weren't surprised that knew her okay. because they're like, oh, you know, Andrade is a brawler.
Yeah.
And anybody can catch her the way she fights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's kind of wild. And she throws, like, she doesn't throw jabs. She just goes and, like, starts throwing her arms around. So they're right. like, I'm not really surprised. And I was like, eh, not me either. You know, like, yeah. just, like, kind of the way she fights. And but she's a tough girl, you know? Yeah. So, but so was Wai Lee, right? So, so I felt like that could happen if she fought that way. I felt like if she fought like a little bit smarter, it probably would have been a different kind of fight. But because she kind of went crazy, that's what happened.
Yeah, she was definitely more accurate with her striking in that short period of time. And precision is definitely the key to that fight of getting her knocked out. So, I mean, I don't know who or... You know, has there been any talks for you on what's next and who your next opponent will be? Will you get a title shot right away or do you have to, you know, go up and fight Andrade? Do you have to fight Rose? Do you have to, you know, like any hints of anything out there yet?
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to fight once or twice more. I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they already had asked me after my last fight if I wanted to fight Michelle Watterson, and then there was somebody else they asked me to fight.
What about Johanna Jacek?
I think they asked me to fight her.
Yeah.
No. Then I don't know if they asked me. I don't remember that. No, they didn't ask me for her. They asked me to fight Jessica. Mm-hmm. So they asked me to fight Michelle. And then they asked me to fight Jessica, but I'm injured, so I can't fight yet.
Yeah. So how have you been feeling? Is it the neck injury again, like a neck thing or?
Yes.
Yeah.
The neck is injured. So it kind of sucks because, you know, like my entire career, you know, I knew I had this neck injury going into my career, but I've managed to like stay healthy.
Right.
In terms of my neck. Like I've had other injuries, you know, I had my shoulder surgery in 2016. I've had bad back issues, like lower back issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of knee things, but they were never like debilitating in terms of, well, the back injury, it was pretty bad where I couldn't like two of my fight camps, I couldn't strike. And I couldn't wrestle. All I could do was jiu-jitsu. Like I couldn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So besides Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is like,
wow.
One part of the game, one part of like a huge game, right?
Right.
So, and that was my fight against Alexa. So I was really happy that, you know, I got in and I got out because my my back was really bad during that fight. So, and then, so I had that, I got it taken care of. And then my, it transferred over into my next fight with Carla where I could barely do stuff. But it was a lot easy. Like it was a little bit like that fight, I could do footwork and jujitsu, like, but I couldn't kick or I couldn't punch or it was just, it was a mess.
Yeah.
But then, but then my fight for Nina, I was healthy. This is sucks. So I was healthy, like, you know, the Monday after I fought Carla, I started training again immediately, and I didn't fight. So my fight was in September. I didn't fight again till June of the next year, and I was healthy this entire time. Like I was like asking for a fight. They're like. Makes sense right now, we want you to be like the number one contender and that, right? So I even was like, I'll fight at 125, I just want to fight, you know.
Yeah,
I want to be active, I don't want to be sitting around. And they're like, oh well, you know, this just doesn't make sense, nothing makes sense for you. And I was like, okay. Then they asked me to fight Nina, and they're originally they said March,
yeah,
and I didn't fight till June. So I was like, okay. So I was healthy all the way up until 2 weeks before my fight, and I hurt my neck really bad where like I dropped to the ground. I couldn't, like, my neck was numb. My arms were numb. Like I felt like a bolt go through my belt body of like crazy. Like it just hurt so bad. And so then like coaches wanted me to like pull out, and I was like, it's been since September. Like I'm not out, you know. And they're like, you know, maybe a cortisone shot. And I was like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Which now that I look about, now that I've actually had the cortisone shot, it definitely was not a good idea to get a cortisone shot too.
Really?
Yes. It's horrible. So they had to put me under anesthesia, and it made my neck worse for a long time. Like when I had it, it just felt horrible. Like I couldn't swim. I couldn't do anything really. I could barely do yoga. So, so I'm just glad that I didn't do it prior to my fight, 'cause then I definitely wouldn't have been able to fight, but I fought and I made it worse. And, so now I'm just like, now I don't know. It's been, you know, I thought I would be good by now. Like I told the UFC when they asked me to fight Michelle, I was like, hey, I can fight maybe in October. It's past October, and I definitely, I haven't even gone live yet. So, and then, they asked me to fight Andrade, and I was like, I can't go live. There's no way I can, you know, do a whole camp not doing live and then go fight somebody. It's just
right.
So, I had to say no to both. And I was like, wow, where were these offers when I asked for a fight last time?
Yeah, when you were healthy, right? When you're feeling healthy. Exactly. Now they're like ready to move. Isn't that the way? Oh, wow. That's a little frustrating, right?
It is very frustrating.
Yeah, that definitely is frustrating. So, I mean, like, so right now you're injured, you have the neck thing going on, and you're still training. You're training twice a day. How are you managing your issue? Like to be well, even with the training, how are you managing that now?
Yeah. So I just got to be really careful. Like I don't go live, like I said, and I drill a lot. I've been drilling my jiu-jitsu. I've been drilling, you know, my stand up, and like, so to minimize like a lot of the impact, I've been hitting the noodles. And sometimes like if I go really hard on the mitts, because I try to hit the mitts a couple of times, and when I go really hard on the mitts, it like it does kind of mess my neck up quite a bit. So I'm like, oh, okay, maybe switch back to noodles, you know. So that I'm still moving, so that I'm still creating these habits, right? These good habits. But you know, I'm not able to go full force or go crazy, right? So, but my kicks, I can kick hard right now, and it doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just being really careful and being, you know, mindful, which is really difficult for me because I'm like 100% kind of person.
Yeah, right. And then too, when you train, I mean, you must be like, you don't feel it as much. And then afterwards, you must feel it like, oh, wow, what did I do?
Yeah, well, pretty much. Yeah. Like, well, sometimes I'll feel it during training. And then I have to tell myself, like, you got to calm down a little bit because mm-hmm. you don't want it hurting. But yeah, like yesterday, I went really hard. I told you, like, I went like 4 hours of work mm-hmm. yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, like, I feel very, like, today I woke up and I was like, I feel it, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah, and you said you do yoga, too. How does that help with your recovery?
I love yoga. It's more, I feel like, for my, it's definitely for your body because, like, mm-hmm. yoga is harder than people think, so.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So I do the classes and stuff and they're very challenging, but also, like, it's good for my mind. Like, the other day I went. And I was really happy that I did it because I, I've been putting training for MMA, you know, above mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And then the other day I was like, you know, it'd be good to just get a yoga class in like after training. So I went and I added that to my training and I was like, I'm really happy I came because it was very therapeutic.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it helps with whatever is going on elsewhere in your body, your spine, your neck.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it does?
Yeah. I think it helps, you know, like open because like, you know, when your muscles around your neck and your shoulders are all tight, you know, from mm-hmm. training and mm-hmm. being like this all the time and then going to yoga, which you're trying to like, obviously mm-hmm. broaden that and like loosen all the muscles up and get more range of motion in those areas, that helps with loosening up the muscles and stuff like that. So, and also strengthening the muscles.
Mm-hmm. Does this help you like deal with any, you know, I mean, I know you faced fear, like you faced death. So that's a big fear, but, I guess the question would be, you know, any fears that come up now, what would they be and how do you face them?
Any fears now? I feel like, you know, I experience them often because of like, obviously my neck injury, like I'm like, you know, I've worked really hard to get to the point where I'm at in my career. So, mm-hmm. you know, last time, you know, I had this injury, it took me 2 years to get back into combat, you know? Mm. Well, I think I would say, you know, right now, like I'm experiencing that kind of fear, like, man, is it going to take me 2 years to, you know, get back to fighting and stuff. So that kind of runs through my mind and I get nervous and I'm like, man, this is my livelihood, you know? So, and not only that, but it's something I really love and enjoy. Mm. And I've worked hard to get to this point, but I'm like, shoot, if I had to do it over again, then I'll do it over again. Right. If they put me all the way up to number 30, I'll still work my way back up to being the number one girl. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm doing. Like, it doesn't really matter, but still you have that in your head. Like, okay, that's a demon that, you know, comes in often and I just have to be like, be positive. Like, negativity is not going to get you anywhere. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, who inspires you? I mean, I can think of, there's been other fighters that have had this similar thing where they've gotten to this point of, like Jinyu Fry. I don't know if you know who she is. She's an atomweight champ for Invicta. And she was saying, you know, I kept getting there. And then, whoosh, you know, like, and then finally she's there and she's got it. And she's like, I ain't letting go now.
Yep.
You know, but it did take her, you know, some, you know, like a lot of battling to get there. And it's like, do you feel like it's partly like your own, like what's going on in your head? And I mean, granted, you got to fight the person, the opponent that's in front of you, and they're a tough opponent. But do you feel like part of it is like your own, like, you know, what's going on inside me? How am I creating these maybe setbacks? Never mm-hmm. talked about this before. You're on the hook with this one. But like these setbacks, like this is another next setback for you. And you know, yeah. like the other one took you out of the Olympics, so to speak. Right. Now, yeah. how does that play out with you being you know, you're on the verge. You're on the verge of probably having a title fight, and you look like you'll dish rag the content, you know, who might even be, you know, like, I mean, Andrade, you probably, any of the other ones that are in front of you from, I mean, people have watched your fights. You're like crazy amazing. And, but there's this nagging little neck thing that's going on with you.
Yeah. It's very frustrating. You know what? I'm just like, you know, I dealt with this for a while, and I was like, you know, I've had time to think about it, right? So I know for a little bit, I was like, you know, I started to sulk a little. I was like, wow, like, I can't believe this is happening to me again. But I'm like, this happens. I'm like, this isn't the worst thing that's happened to me, right? And I'm like, I've had worse, right? So I'm like, just trust in the process and get better in the process. You know, I feel like it's not like I'm just sitting around. I'm not just sitting in bed like, I'm so sad. Like, my neck hurts, right? I'm like doing everything possible to get better. And I'm doing everything possible to become a better martial artist, whether it's going live, you know, whether it's, you know, like, whether it's not, you know, because just because I can't go live doesn't mean I can't do it. I remember after my shoulder surgery, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't lift my arm up or anything, right? I think it was maybe like a week or like, well, a couple of days. I took my sling off and I was just walking around the block. Like, it, you know what I mean? I just wanted to not have a sling on and walk around the block. And then, you know, just little goals that I was setting for myself, regardless of the fact that I couldn't move my arm. And then, you know, within a week, I was doing the elliptical with my arm in the sling. You know, like, I was like, I might not have my arm, but I still have my legs, right? So there's always work to be done. There's always something you can do to improve. So I'm just like, whether or not I can go live, I can still do a million other things. I can work on my footwork. I can work on my head movement. I can work on a million different things. That's why it's so great, because it's a sport where you might take away one leg, but you still got another leg and two hands, right? So
that's true.
One of those things where you just got to be like grateful that you can actually do what you can, right?
Yeah.
So right now I'm happy that I can, it's not like, you know, my neck does hurt, but I can still do a million things.
So. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. That's great. And I mean, that's great for other people who are sitting there on the sidelines, just, you know, trying to get to the gym and being like, oh no, I got this, that, or the other thing going on. Yeah. And well, there are people that do have similar things going on and they do it. So, you know, like, there's really the only excuses you make are the excuses you make for yourself. It's like not really necessarily the injury or whatever it is that you have to work through, because there are multiple things, multiple ways about going through things. That's a great, beautiful way of saying,
yeah,
you can do it. Yeah, you exactly. can right. do it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I remember one time I was watching these people that were like, they didn't have, they, you know, obviously we have the, what's it called? The Paralympics.
Yeah.
These people are doing stuff
yeah.
their whole life without arms. I knew a swimmer who didn't have arms or legs. And he was like, he had, you know, like, it was like up to here, right? But, and then he had, you know, maybe up to, I don't know, maybe a little bit below his hip. And he swam in the Olympics and he had medals. So I was like, if this dude could do it, why can't I?
Right.
As I remember, like, that was a moment for me. I was at the Lumi Training Center. I was training there. I was injured. I had like a knee injury and I was just kind of like, man, this sucks. I can't run. I can't do all the things necessary. And it's a mental thing, right? You're like, I can't do everything I can possible to be the best because my knee is injured. But you're like, wait, this dude doesn't have arms or legs and he's winning medals in the Olympics. I'm like, I'm fine. I can do this, right?
Right, so, right.
That's like an eye opener. That was an eye opener for me at 19 years old, right? So
that's an awesome eye opener, but it is the truth. It's like, oh wow. And two, I think if you focus on something, then you're more likely to, you know, injure it or the attention gets drawn there. But if you don't focus on it in a healthy way, I mean, of course you have to take care of yourself if you do have an injury, but if you focus on and you decide, you know, like, yeah, this is healed. This is going to be healed, or this is in the process of healing. I'm going to take care of it, but I'm going to still be able to do what I want to do and reach the goals that I want to reach.
Exactly.
Regardless. Yep. Wow. Yep. Yeah.
It's very mental. Very.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, it's an iron will, you know, like in having faith in yourself, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Having a real, a lot of confidence, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like serious confidence in yourself. And then too, in trusting, you know, going back to God or whatever you want to call, you know, a higher being or whatever that influence that influences you and gives you, the courage and what have you to, you know, face whatever it is, the struggles that you face or challenges.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. Yep.
So what women role models, other than your gram and your mom and family members, what other role models have you had?
I like how you call her gram.
Is she a gram or what do you call her? What do you call her?
I call her granny, but I like
granny. Granny. I like granny too.
You know, I have so many, you know, I think a lot, like I'm very supportive of other women. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter, you know, some women because of their business, some women because, you know, they're I don't know, they came from like Cardi B, like this is a funny example, like she was a stripper and now she's like one of the, you know, biggest rappers and super successful people out there right now. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it shows like, you know, what you could do if you really believe mm-hmm. yourself, right? So mm-hmm. like any type of woman that's really that's strong, that's working towards their goals, that's positive, that's uplifting other women as well. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, you know, I see girls on the internet tearing each other down. I'm like, why are you doing that? You know, mm-hmm. I don't really, I experienced it the other day. Like some girl was like, just like trying to be like snood, you know, like some guy had commented and mm-hmm. she was like, kind of like, oh, like, kind of going on to that too. And I was just like, I'm like, that's weird that, you know, like, I expect it from men a lot, you know, mm-hmm. but I'm like, you're a woman and you should support other women, you know?
Yeah. So, absolutely. It she's influenced by a male perspective, which I mean, if it's a good, positive male perspective, you know,
good.
But if it's not,
right.
It's not, and it's demeaning to women, and you're demeaning women as well. You're only demeaning yourself, and you have, I mean, that's how it appears to me. I don't know about you, but like that's, you know, they're demeaning themselves. And then too, they're preying on women who have less self-confidence.
Right.
You know, and to make themselves feel superior, which is really kind of shitty.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm. No. So I believe, like, I just believe in uplifting women in general, mm-hmm. and, you know, and people in general, but I'm definitely like, I really like to support strong women as well. Like, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I mean, like all you had mentioned earlier, you know, through your training and your years and being in like, say wrestling growing up as a young girl and going through, did you go through high school and college and
yes.
Yeah, all those years with it. And some of the feedback that you got, did you get negative feedback from women doing that too as well?
Not really, actually. You know, I think, and I think it's becoming more like a thing now where like, you know, empowering women is a thing. Mm-hmm. But before it was just like, we were happy to be around other girls that were like-minded, right? Mm-hmm. That had goals that were also, that also grew up in a sport where it was predominantly mm-hmm. males, right? Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to be around those girls. It was really nice to be around other athletes. Like I remember going to Olympic Training Center and even, you know, the judo girls, you know, the girls that were in, they always had the, what's it, water polo team there.
Right.
Track. The weightlifting women, like it was just great to be around strong women because, mm-hmm. you know, up until recently, being a strong woman was a lot looked at differently in terms of, you know, mm-hmm. how that looks. Like, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times it'd be like, oh, she looks very manly because she has mm-hmm. muscles. And it's yeah. like, no. Yeah. Muscle, everybody has the ability to have muscle.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you're a man because you have muscles.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Well, the other thing too, I mean, this is what I mean, I've experienced a lot of that over the years, but like one of the things when I was in Thailand, I was there to study Muay Thai kickboxing, and there I sat down at some restaurant and I was talking to a gentleman I met there, and he was fascinated that I did that. But then he was referring to me as, oh, are you kind of like a guy? Are you a lesbian? And I'm like, just because I fight doesn't mean I'm a lesbian. And even if a lesbian does do this, it doesn't mean that, you know, like, I was like, why are you putting me into these categories because of what you think or what you don't think, and because I'm doing something that might appear to be masculine. I think there's yeah. more women warriors. We just didn't know about them earlier on, right. you know, we're not, you know, because they weren't written about or something. And, right. and so girls weren't, you know, we're not supposed to do that or something, but I was like, man, I've always felt like I've had this tendency. I mean, I got in fights when protecting kids, when I was in elementary school, I had a yeah. natural capacity for it. It's, right. it's genetic or whatever,
yeah.
you know? Yeah. And I mean, I didn't know about it. It was suppressed probably a little bit, but, and then right. I have my feminine side, you know, mm. that is like, still, I want to do all the girly things, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I'm a wuss. I'm a diva in other regards. But then I, you know, like I can rip it up and get in the, you know, in the ring or on the mat and tool somebody with, you know, some striking and stuff. But okay, you know, and then there's sometimes where I'm like, oh no, I don't want to get choked out or something. I don't want to do that. I'm too old for that now. That bullshit. You know, so I'm like, I'm a girl. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the sides of women, you know, that are actually now coming into full balance, and you're a part of that because people are seeing that, you know, from, I mean, you're saying, yeah, I've been in this since I was 3, and it's natural for a woman to be doing this.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
yeah. I mean, when I started wrestling, you know, there weren't any girls that were wrestling. Now there's so many, and it's really nice to see the sport grow. Even like when I was in high school, there was probably 3 girls wrestling. Now my brother runs the women's program and it's 50 plus girls.
Wow.
So that just shows the massive growth within yeah. the last 10 years in women's wrestling.
Yes.
Where now women only mostly wrestle girls now, especially in the state of California.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. I can remember when I started on this journey of like writing and doing my blog and stuff, and a lot of it was out in California. There was a little bit happening here in New England, but we would be listening, you know, okay, what's going on out there, you know, like, and it was a lot of kickboxing. There was some Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but not too much. And then there was all this stuff overseas on some of the islands, some of the girls like, you know, Misha Tate and you know, all those women that were competing early on outside of the country. And it's just amazing how it's changed so much in the course of my beginning in involvement in like someone like yourself. Now we know who you are, you know, yeah. like and these opportunities are available for you to actually have a career in it. I mean, did you ever see that when you were a kid? Like when you were, you know, like in high school, that you would have a career in this? Did you think?
Well, I thought it was going to be wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be wrestling. I didn't think it was going to be fighting. But then when I did see women's fighting, I knew that was going to be something I would do eventually. I just didn't know that I would skip the gold medal part. You know, yeah. I thought I would be wrestling
until
I was like 25 and then, or, you know, however long I wanted it to be, and then switch over to martial arts and then win a world title, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that was my goal, but, you know, it changed. So mm-hmm. it was sooner than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Wow. So how do you see yourself as a role model for girls or young women coming up now?
You know, that's I think like for me, I'm very careful about that kind of stuff. You know, I always try to be very like positive and like have good sportsmanship for that exact reason. Like I want girls to look at me and be like, oh, I want to be like her, you know? And I think a lot of times like some women are like, you know, yeah, but then you're not like a lot of, not just women, but people in general are like, yeah, but if you're not exciting and you don't talk some smack, like you're going to be very boring and this and that. And I'm like, there's different types of personalities in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's how the world is. Mm-hmm. If everybody was the same, if everybody had the same gimmick of talking smack and putting down their opponents and this and that, it would be boring, right? Like you have to have different personalities in MMA and in the entertainment business. It can't always be smack talking and this and that. I'm like, I just choose not to do that really because mm-hmm. I want to be a great model for kids. And that's really important to me because I remember not having many women to look up to when I was a kid. And so I want to be that for girls that, you know, that don't have that role model that they see me and they're like, wow, I want to be just like Tatiana. You know, I want to be, yeah. I want to be, you know, not only a good fighter, but I want to have a good, have good character as sure. well.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, character is important. I mean, how you appear in front of people and stuff, is huge, especially for young, impressionable girls coming up, because now they are looking at right. you fighters, I think more so than probably any other sports, because you guys are out there other than like maybe, you know, tennis or now even race car driving maybe might be the other one. But in the fight game, I mean, there were Ronda Rousey dolls. And I'm right. like, whoever thought there would be a freaking doll? You know, like a sports figure doll. I can't remember any of that growing up. I don't even think I even bought my daughter, who's, you know, probably your age. And I'm like, there was nothing like that for girls.
Yeah.
You know? And now there is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No. I think it's good because I know a lot of people, because, you know, I deal with, I work with kids that wrestle as well. And I know like a lot of the girls, their parents have told me like, oh, you know, she wants to wrestle, but a lot of people tell her it's for boys. And I was like, that's interesting because there's so many women that do it. You know, I was like, it's not for boys. And seeing, you know, like I know I help out at that actual like the club that they have, like I help out there, so like just her seeing me like inspires her to come. Mm-hmm. And that, so I like that part of it, but it just sucks that it's still part of our society where people are thinking that only boys should be doing the sport.
Yeah, I think it definitely has taken strong women like yourself to keep pushing forward, even through the challenges that you've had, your physical challenges that you've had to face, and keep doing that, because I think sometimes even for women that we tend to be, which I don't think this is necessarily true. I think men are emotional too, but they just haven't been able to show some of that externally. Women are more external that way. And we do have the capacity to express ourselves emotionally a lot better, easier, I guess. Definitely. But you know, the difference of this, what's that?
Not frowned upon.
Yeah. And I think, you know, where women are coming up and young girls are seeing, you know, athletes like yourself, competing at these high levels in a male dominated arena, and that did you compete against boys in wrestling?
Yes.
Earlier on. Yeah.
And all throughout youth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that women can actually, or young girls can actually do that and be very competitive.
Right.
It's like changing perspectives on like, wow, you know what? You don't have to be big. Like, I mean, in martial arts, you don't have to be big and strong, like a big, huge guy to, you know, like the little guy can, I mean, for safety purposes, you know, like if you were on the street and you were protecting yourself, can undermine, you know, somehow a big giant. with the proper training and tools and techniques along the way. So it's fascinating that these preconceived notions or beliefs are being dismantled by, I personally feel like, women in mixed martial arts, like hugely, yes. More so than any other sport that's out there. You guys are in the limelight now, thanks to the UFC, Invicta, former Strikeforce, now Bellator, and some of the other organizations. So it's been like really cool to have you on the show. I feel like I've had you for about an hour, a little over an hour, and I don't know, you probably have to get to the gym. I could talk with you for another hour, easy. I have like so many other questions that we didn't even get to. I would love to have a part two. Yeah. Maybe leading up to, you know, something when you're, you know, maybe feeling like you're going to be taking a fight, when the UFC calls or something like that prior to that. I'd love to have you back on the show and discuss a little bit more about that, because you're really a cool badass woman. And there's things that we didn't even get to that I wanted to get to, but I know you got to like prep for your next class and training session. So, and you probably, who knows if you've even eaten yet. I don't know. I'm always concerned about that. I'm like, did they eat before they came?
I don't eat as much as I need to, but I try. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for having me on, and I would love to come back on again. That'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think we have a nice little rapport going on here. Yeah. And I have some fun questions, you know, like some silly stuff and that I'd like to get into with you, but I think I'd like to save for another time.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And that way, cause I know I kept you for like an hour or so. I'm going to, any shout outs that you like to give to, you know, like your colleagues, your coaches, your trainers, sponsors, I would say do it now.
Okay. I just want to like, give a shout out to, you know, my entire team and my coaches and stuff like that. They put so much time into me, and I'm really, really grateful for that. To me, they're more than just like my coaches. They're like, you know, like my dads or something. I don't know. They're too young to be my dads. Maybe uncle. I don't know. but yeah, I want to thank them and also my teammates for, you know, I can't do it alone. I can't just work out by myself. So I'm thankful for them as well.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show. And I'm looking forward to our next chat. This is to be continued, because yes. She's got to get to training and I don't want to keep her. We've already kept her for an hour and like 10 minutes, I think. So we have a lot more to talk about for anybody that's listening today. And I'm going to say toodles to Tatiana Suarez, who may be, you know, the next, you know, strawweight contender, hopefully soon. Hopefully her neck heals up fast, and we'll be seeing her in the cage again very, very soon. But until our next one, our follow-up part two on Tatiana, I'm going to say toodles and thank you. Bye-bye. Well, I'd like to thank Tatiana Suarez for coming on to the show. Man, she is an inspiration, surviving cancer and then, you know, getting in the cage and becoming, you know, a number one contender. I mean, like, she's definitely going to go all the way. Hopefully that her neck injury heals up soon and she will see her back in the cage. If you haven't seen her, man, look up her past fights. Unbelievable. She just mauls her opponents. She's amazing. So if you like what you heard today and are eager to hear more, never miss an episode from Evolve WMMA and moi, Shelly Devine, by remembering to subscribe, download on iTunes, or you can find us on Podomatic, Shout Engine, and Spotify at Evolve Women's MMA. Or if you prefer to watch, you can find a new episode on YouTube at Women's MMA. So, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You know, let us know that you like the show. And then, two, mention this particular show and mention Tatiana Suarez and mention how she inspired or motivated you. This helps people find the show, so please do it. You can leave a review on iTunes, of course, or you can go even to my blog at evolvewmma.com, and you can go there to leave a review. And lastly, if nothing else, you can simply follow us at facebook.com/ILoveWMMA. This is Shelley Devine. Until next time, thanks for listening.